Your support is important to Living on Earth. Donate today by pressing the donate link on the left of this page. Every bit helps, and thanks.
It's Living on Earth. I'm Steve Kerwood.
And I'm Bruce Gellerman. Advocates are calling it the largest ever vote for clean energy. Californians resoundingly defeated an oil company-backed initiative to shelve the state's global warming law. 61% voted against the effort, so California will stay on a strict path to increase the use of clean energy.
Republicans played a major role in preserving California's renewable standards, including President Reagan's Secretary of State George Shultz and Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger, who mocked the federal government for failing to act on climate change.
And while we are doing all of these great things, there's no action in Washington. Isn't that interesting? No action in Washington. Those reforms are always lost or killed somewhere in between the White House and Capitol Hill and the K Street lobbyists. Somehow America has created its own Bermuda Triangle, where all of those ideas and those great reforms disappear somehow or evaporate. The one thing about California, though, is that we never wait for Washington.
Technology companies, venture capital, and the Latino vote also helped preserve California's climate protection law. State Senator Fran Pavley is an author of California's breakthrough laws limiting vehicle and overall carbon pollution. Fran Pavley says California has some lessons for the rest of America.
In California, we've really not talked about just climate change and global warming. We've talked about the link to air pollution. We've talked about impacts to our water supply. Our High Sierra snowpack is at risk. But we've mostly talked about the importance of having a clean and secure energy source. We don't want to be gamed by Texas. And we certainly don't want to rely on dependence of foreign oil. We're very concerned about that. And I think on the federal level, they need to talk about it in that regard. When I talk to constituents from all different political perspectives, they want the option of having more efficient appliances so they can save money on the utility bills. They want energy-efficient homes. They want weatherization of homes. They certainly want, this is pulled every year for 10 years since I carried the clean car law, they want broader consumer choice and more fuel efficient and energy efficient cars that are less polluting. So I think in California, we never started with talking about cap and trade. I think the federal government started in that approach. I think if you talk to different states, there's a lot of good things happening in states as well as cities. I think that's where you'll see the groundswell of increased effort.
Well, it looks like here in America, actually, there are two different countries. There's one where you have a federal government that seriously doubts the necessity of acting on climate. And then you have other parts of the country, California and elsewhere, where people are stating firmly that they do want to act and using the government process to do so. How do you feel about that?
There may be what's perceived as a mixed signal. But again, I'd like to challenge the federal government to reframe the discussion. I believe national security is a critical issue that Americans everywhere would be supportive of addressing. I've held some hearings with top military officials from the Navy and Marines and others. Did you know that the military has, for their policy, a 30% reduction of energy use by 2020. That exceeds what California is trying to do. They're doing it with biofuels, reduced dependence on foreign oil, which they think is a critical national security issue. They're worried about massive migrations and movements of people creating unrest. So they are making aggressive steps to become more sustainable. It's really quite fascinating.
How hopeful are you that a viable greenhouse gas reduction program can be started with California in the lead?
I'm very hopeful because we've seen the pattern before. California is big enough with 38 million people. We actually have more people than all of Canada, so just to put that in perspective. But California will work very collaboratively with other states. We actually have a strong network through organizations like the National Conference of State Legislators. And these are people from states all over the country who are doing amazing things in their cities and their states. I think each state has a different way to approach this. What works in one state may not be the same policies that are the best in another state. and when I was back in Copenhagen last December, and Governor Schwarzenegger was there too, we both thought all the action was going to come from down below. Individuals, cities, communities, more sustainability, pedestrian-oriented communities, state legislators, and organizations working together. We have built a tremendous coalition here in California in supporting these policies. It's health advocates, it's people concerned about water supply, it's small and large businesses, university and college students, the interfaith community, an amazing coalition of Christian, Muslim, and Jewish leaders. And that's a strong voice that represents, you know, the majority of people who live here in California. Those same kind of coalitions, with variances, obviously, state by state, are what's going to move this forward.
Well, I want to thank you for taking this time with me today.
Well, thank you very much.
California State Senator Fran Pavley is an author of the state's greenhouse gas law that was just reaffirmed at the ballot box.
Let's stay in California and turn to Ingrid Lobet, LOE's Western Bureau Chief, for a look at the governor races in the region and how they might affect clean energy legislation. So Jerry Brown is the once and future governor of California.
That's right. Actually, both California and Oregon decided they liked Democrats they had seen before. California reelected Jerry Brown, who was governor in the 70s, and Oregon elected John Kitzhaber, who was governor in the late 90s till 2003. Kitzhaber says he wants Oregon to go beyond the goal that it already has, 25% of its energy renewable and reducing carbon emissions below 1990 levels in 15 years. He thinks these should be more than merely goals, perhaps a limit on carbon. By the way, Bruce Kitzhaber's background is as an emergency room doctor.
Well, let's go to the elections in the Silver State and the Land of Enchantment.
Okay, both Nevada and New Mexico elected Republican governors who are Latino. In New Mexico, it's Susana Martinez. New Mexico is really interesting because it alone has signed on to carbon limits that will allow it to work in sync with California. And yet the same day New Mexico officials issued their climate change regulations, which happened to be on Tuesday, the voters of New Mexico chose District Attorney Susana Martinez. And she says she wants to get rid of scientifically unnecessary regulations and move forward on New Mexico's rich oil and gas reserves. In Nevada, Judge Brian Sandoval gave up a lifetime appointment on the federal bench to run for governor. His platform says nothing about energy. As attorney general in Nevada, though, he, like a lot of Nevadans, strongly opposed Yucca Mountain as a repository for high-level nuclear waste.
Now, do we have time for anyone else? Let's see. Colorado elected a new governor, too, right?
Yeah, Colorado's also interesting. They elected John Hickenlooper, a Dem, a former exploration geologist. That means coal and oil and gas. Also a brewpub owner and the mayor of Denver. As mayor, he's been working on Denver's carbon footprint. He's pushed green architecture, waste reduction. He's big on water reuse. And he says he was proud to attend the climate conference in Copenhagen last year.
So a doctor, a pub owner, a judge, and a top cop, a real diverse group of Western governors. Thanks a lot, Ingrid.
You're welcome.
Living on Earth's Western Bureau Chief, Ingrid Lobet.